Saint John Paul II said on the New Millennium document from John Paul II, he said the Catholic Church is supposed to be home and a school of communion. So I think we are called to be a school of communion, teaching the rest of the world what communion is all about, right, what loving each other is all about, what being one is all about, because we believe in a God that is Trinity.
Welcome to Faith and Culture, a production of the Augustine Institute. Every week, we explore the glory of the Catholic faith and the beauty of Catholic culture. And now, here's the host of Faith and Culture, Joseph Pierce.
Hello, and welcome to another Faith and Culture podcast of the Augustine Institute. I'm your host, Joseph Pierce. And today I have as my guest, once again, my friend and colleague here at the Augustine Institute, Luis Soto, who's director of Hispanic Ministry here. Before we get on to the topic we're going to be discussing today, perhaps you can just tell us something about what you do here as the director of Hispanic Ministry.
Thank you, Joseph. It's an honor to be here. As director of Hispanic Ministry, I supervise everything we do in Spanish and for Hispanic Catholics from DAI. That can be books, digital content, video, the platform formed, curriculum, CD talks, and everything we do with for the Hispanic community. That's my job.
Wonderful. So basically what the Augustine Institute's doing in English as regards bringing the new evangelization to the United States and beyond, you're doing for the Spanish speakers.
Correct.
Wonderful. That's a great responsibility and an important
it
job.
It is growing.
You're kept busy, right?
Yeah.
Well, I know that one particular project that we're working on together, because one of my roles here at the Augustine Institute, apart from doing the Faith and Culture Apostolate, is the director of book publishing. And I know we collaborate on various Spanish titles, Spanish language titles, but both of us are very excited by an initiative, an idea you came up with called One Family Under God. Would you like to tell us something about this and why you think it's important?
Yes. As we all know, a very important segment of the Catholic Church in the U.S. is Hispanics. Hispanic Catholics have been growing presence and a very strong presence in the Catholic Church. About 40% of all Catholics in the U.S. today are Hispanic, wow, which is very, very large.
Wow. Yeah.
And not only that, if you account for Hispanics under the age of 18,
right,
it's already up to 60% of, wow, the Catholic Church in the U.S. I'm not saying they all speak Spanish, but I'm saying they, yep, are of Hispanic descent.
Right.
I can give you one example. I served for many years in the Archdiocese of Denver, so I know the Archdiocese of Denver very, very well. But in 1997, in the Archdiocese of Denver, we had six parishes serving Hispanics. By the time I left in 2015, we had 54.
Wow.
So that, I don't know how many hundreds percent of the,
right,
increase,
right,
happened in a period of 20 years, right?
Yeah.
Less than 20 years because of the influx of many Hispanics. The growth in the Catholic Church today is because of immigration, because of new Catholics coming into the country. So many, many more parishes now are bilingual parishes, right, are parishes that are serving Hispanics and non-Hispanics alike, and they have Spanish masses and probably more than two languages. And some, it is said, Archbishop Gomez in Los Angeles, he says that in his archdiocese, the mass is celebrated in 40 different languages,
oh, wow,
every weekend.
Wow.
So particularly speaking of the Hispanic community, which is my portion, is the most the largest group other than white Catholics in the U.S. is very, very significant. However, when the Hispanic community starts growing in a parish, there are many challenges coming with it. And I'm very honest. I'm very frank. And those are realities that we face in all of our churches. And you have a priest coming and saying, "Luis, I'm one pastor, but now I have two parishes under one roof.
Right.
I have the Spanish-speaking parish and I have the English-speaking parish.
Right.
And I love them both. And I want to continue serving both.
Right.
But, you know, I have to preserve the unity of the church.
Yeah.
And I want to be one church and I want to bring them together." And there are many challenges and there are many issues where we are not uniting as a Catholic community.
Right.
And we are not being one voice and one faith. And at the end, our vocation is to be one. Right. Because we are the children of God, a God who is Trinity, right?
So, yeah, so the challenge is, on the one hand, obviously, you want to respect the integrity of cultures, right? You don't want to force everybody into a one-size-fits-all monoculture. But on the other hand, of course, the Catholic Church is universal, and it's like a garden of many flowers, but it's all serving one truth, and as the title of your project, one family under God. So the challenge is also, while respecting that integrity, we also want integration, right? We actually want the two communities to be working together and to actually to be loving each other, and not, as is often the case, I think, you know, oil and water, that the never the twain shall meet, right? East is east, west is west, never the twain shall meet. The two sides just never have anything to do with each other. Mm-hmm. So how is this project, One Family Under God, designed to help that happen, help that integration and that getting to know each other and working as one family?
Yeah, before I go to that, I want to say that integration is one of the oldest challenges of Christianity, of the Catholic Church. If we go back to the book of Acts, the first council of Jerusalem is convened because of an integration issue. There are the Christian Jews, the Judeo-Christians, and the Greek Christians.
Right.
And there's a question, they should be the same way? Should we be integrated and be uniform and do the same? We want to be one, but we realize there's diversity now in our church. So we are facing a new and old issue in the church. So, you know, what my approach is this, is if we want to be one, the source of our unity, it must be our Catholic faith.
Yeah.
You know, there are many programs out there that wanna bring us together by teaching me about your culture and teaching you about my culture.
Right.
So by understanding our differences, probably we'll be more united. And what we are trying to do that is different here is to say, you know, we are one because we sharing one common Catholic faith and one common Lord Jesus Christ.
And one communion.
It is one communion. Yep. It is our Catholic identity that can bring us together. We can speak different languages. We can sing different songs. We can pray the rosary in a different order. We actually do. We can do things.
That's something I want to know at some point. Maybe off air. I need to know that.
We changed the order of some things, but okay. It's the way we learn it from Spain, right? Mm-hmm. But at the end, we're sharing the same Catholic faith. And I think we should be building unity around that. So what we are trying to do with this project, One Family Under God, is following the steps of our great Saint John Paul II. In the only document ever written for the entire American continent, for the Americas, which is Ecclesia in America, John Paul II, in the introduction, he says, he's writing this book, this exhortation, in the hopes for the unity of the entire Americas. Well, the entire Americas is happening in the U.S. right now.
Right.
And I think what he's telling us there can serve us to build a church that is fully integrated and is united in Jesus Christ. So we follow the steps of John Paul II in Ecclesia in America. Starting, he says, the first step for unity has to be our Lord Jesus Christ, having an encounter with our living Jesus Christ. So we start from recognizing that we have to encounter our Lord in Jesus Christ. And then the Pope will ask himself, where do we encounter God? How do we encounter Lord Jesus Christ? And then he goes on and he says, we encounter Jesus Christ in the sacred scriptures. We have that in common. We encounter Jesus Christ in the sacraments. We have that in common. And we encounter Jesus Christ in each other. Well, we can see each other. In most places, in most parishes, I have found people complaining about the other group, but they have never encountered each other.
Right.
They have never seen each other and talked to each other,
right,
and sharing the faith. So we believe, and I believe, that the process of integration has to start with the process of appreciation and encountering and seeing each other. So let me tell you, if I have that time, something we did in this archdiocese in a few of the parishes. During this process of encountering or appreciation, integration, we had some members of the Spanish-speaking community come to the English masses in our parishes. And they will be speaking in their broken English with my accent or any way they could to the entire English-speaking Catholic congregation, saying something like, my name is Maria Rodriguez. I was born and raised in Zacatecas, Mexico. For the last 15 years, I have been in the United States. My husband and I got married in this church. Our children come to catechesis here. We have been part of this church from the very, very beginning. We are members of the charismatic or prayer group or family group in this church. we love this parish. We believe we belong to this parish. And on behalf of my family and the entire family Hispanic community of this church, we want to say thank you to all of you because you have opened the doors and welcomed all of us to be here with you. You know, the first time we did this,
wow,
it was a standing ovation.
Wow.
People was longing for hearing each other saying, yeah, I appreciate it. And we actually mean it. We just have not provided the opportunities to say it. And likewise, we had English-speaking Catholics.
I was about to ask that. Did you, yeah, do this thing in reverse?
We did the thing. Yeah? Yeah. And we had English-speaking Catholics to come to the Spanish masses and say something like, my name is Lisa Smith, whatever name in English. I was born and raised 2 blocks from this church. My parents helped to build this church. In the last 10 years, we have seen how many of you have been coming here. And you are filling our pews again, and you are bringing your children, and you bring enthusiasm, and you bring new music, and you bring new life to this church. On behalf of our community, I want to say thank you to all of you. I think we have to start the process. That encounter,
right,
starts with the acknowledging and recognizing the other,
yep,
as my brother and sister. And for that, we have to be appreciative and say thank you and be grateful of the gift of the other in my life and in my church. So this is chapter number one of my book.
that's what I was going to say next. So obviously, this is also the spirit of the whole thing, right? This idea of encounter. But I was going to get onto the book because obviously this book, One Family Under God, which we're going to be publishing here at the Augustine Institute, you're the author of it. So no one would know more than you, presumably, about what the book's going to be. But on the other hand, you're in the early stages of writing it at this point. So could you, insofar as you're able, bearing in mind it's a work in progress, give us an idea of the content of the book, structure of the book, and what it's going to be saying?
Yeah, it's going to be directed to parishes with bilingual communities. And again, not only English or Spanish in this particular case, it can be diverse, multicultural parish anywhere. And so anybody that wants to start a process of integration and unity in our churches, I'm envisioning to have 5 chapters. Chapter number one, the encounter with the living Jesus Christ that I was just describing. Chapter number two, the conversion. Pope John Paul II says that the encounter with the Lord is a path to conversion, will lead us to conversion. In the conversion, we acknowledge and we'll go over the things we need to change, the things we need to start seeing differently. Because on both sides of these, there are some misconceptions. And on the side of my Hispanic community, we have some misconceptions about the English-speaking community in our churches. And on the other side, too, we have some misconceptions. We have to really reconcile those. So that's chapter two, is the conversion, with some specific ideas and some things that we can do, some even activities that we can do in our church to really build some this process of one family. And then from the conversion, after we start a process of conversion, we can build on communion. We can build on our same and our common Catholic identity. And the emphasis of this chapter will be speaking about what are the things that we have in common, that we can find in common, the same Catholic faith, explaining these things of the rosary and things that maybe there are simple things that we are different, but at the end, we are of the same heart and we are of the same faith. We are children of the same God. And our first and most important identity is that we are children of God. And that's the emphasis of this. And that will lead us to chapter number four, which speaks about solidarity and being brothers and sisters with each other and seeing each other as brothers and sisters and acting as brothers and sisters and doing all of the things we need to do to be brothers and sisters and friendly and Catholics to each other and brothers and to each other. And step number five, we'll be speaking about the mission, going out and evangelize and bring others to Christ. At the end, the mission we all have, regardless of the language, is the new evangelization. So if we go through a process of encounter, conversion, communion, solidarity, we can start a mission to bring others to the first encounter again. So that's the overall idea of this, okay, of this book.
Well, I'm going to try to repeat those, and then you can correct me if I'm wrong. But so 5 chapters, so it's a 5-pronged approach for one family under God. The first is encounter. The second is
conversion.
Thank you. And the third is identity.
Communion. Which
communion
is the identity, the Catholic,
yeah,
identity.
Yeah, communion. And then the fourth is solidarity.
Yes.
And the fifth is mission.
Correct.
I think just to go out and evangelize.
Right.
Okay, now I know that so that's the book, and that's concrete because that's in the works. You're writing it, and we've scheduled it for publication, and so that will certainly be becoming available, first of all in Spanish, and hopefully then in translation in English. And indeed, if there's demand for other languages, please God, other languages too. But I know that you have a vision for One Family Under God, which is multidimensional and maybe, you know, goes beyond the book into other areas of what the Augustine Institute is doing and what evangelization is. So would you like me to maybe elaborate upon that somewhat? One Family Under God, the ideal vision, maybe 3 or 4 years from now,
yeah.
God willing.
You know, St. John Paul II said in Novo Millennium in Eunte, on the New Millennium, the document from John Paul II, he said the Catholic Church is supposed to be home and a school of communion. He says in different words, but he says that if we want to be successful in the new millennium, we have to become homes and the schools of communion. So I think we are called to be a school of communion,
right,
teaching the rest of the world what communion is all about,
right,
what loving each other is all about, what being one is all about, because we believe in a God that is three in one, right? It's right. Trinity. So my vision...
And God himself is communion.
Right. He is communion. So that's our... It's in our DNA that we are called to be communion. So my vision is this book will inspire to create a process and a program with video resources, with a study and conversation guides that will help parishes to bring communities together and to build a school of communion for every single parish with multicultural communities in our church. We can show our society and we can show our world that our faith actually matters, and our faith can be a power to bring us together and to bring us together with a new Catholic culture, with a new Catholic faith, with a renovated Catholic spirit that can really permeate every single aspect of our society. So that's my vision, that we can go beyond the book, we can create resources for parishes. Just to put it in the context, in the Catholic Church today in the United States, there are almost 6,000 parishes that every single weekend offer Mass in a language other than English.
Right.
6,000 parishes. That is almost half of all the active parishes in the country. They offer a Mass in a different language. Most of them are in the south and in the west of the country,
right,
of course. Right. But right now, it's all over the country.
Yeah. Well, I live in the upstate of South Carolina. You'd think that's a backwoods. That's exactly where you think it wouldn't be the case. And of course, the Mass is being offered in Spanish.
Correct.
In the parishes in the town in which I live. Yeah.
Correct. So, and of those, about 90% of those parishes offer Masses in Spanish only. The other are can be in Vietnamese, in Tagalog, or Polish, or any other language. But the majority of them offer Masses in Spanish. So when we are talking about this situation of parishes that have multicultural communities and they are somehow struggling to be and work as a parish community because of the challenges of the language, is a very significant challenge of our church. And I think it's a challenge of our society nowadays,
right,
you know,
right,
that we have to learn to see each other, our brothers and sisters, and live and cooperate and subsist and just live together as brothers and sisters. And I think we can be, in that regards, a lighthouse for society in those 6,000 parishes.
Amen, brother. I would say in that case, then, to conclude this discussion, and we've been talking a lot about communion between the different communities in the United States, especially the English speaking Hispanic communities. I would actually reach out to the listeners of this podcast and ask for them to be in communion with my guest here, Luis Soto, and myself and the Augustine Institute, in prayer that this vision for One Family Under God may indeed blossom beyond the one book, which, if you like, might be the seed into multifarious multimedia projects to indeed bring forth what it hopes to do, and to make us literally one family under God. Luis Soto, thanks so much for joining me and sharing your vision for the future of our nation.
Thank you very much. It has been an honor being here.
Thank you. And thank you so much for listening. This is Joseph Pierce, your host, and this has been another Faith and Culture podcast of the Augustine Institute. Do please join me next time. Until then, goodbye and God bless. Go.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Faith and Culture with Joseph Pierce. Faith and Culture is a production of the Augustine Institute. For more information, please visit us at faithandculture.com.